Now we're going to talk about an anniversary, because 50 years ago today, three members of the Miami Show Band were murdered by a loyalist paramilitary group at Buskill in County Down. The victims were lead singer Fran O'Toole, guitarist Tony Geraghty and trumpeter Brian McCoy. And today, commemoration events are taking place to mark the 50th anniversary of what's now become known as the Miami Show Band Massacre. Two band members who were injured but survived were Des Lee and Stephen Travers. And Des Lee is on the line now. Des, good morning to you.
Good morning, Anya, to you and your listeners.
And thank you very much for joining us on this 50th anniversary. What does that feel like to you, the fact that this is the 50th anniversary of that awful event?
Well, first of all, it's hard to believe it's 50 years. And yes, this is going to be a very, very tough day for me and for Steve. We're starting off at Buskill, then we go down to Newry to unveil a plaque. And then we go to Daisy Hill Hospital to thank the doctors and nurses for looking us after us after the massacre. And then we go down to Dundalk for the unveiling of another plaque. And then we head off to Parnell Square in Dublin, where the monument is for at 7 o'clock this evening for another commemoration. So it's going to be a long, tough day.
It certainly it will be, and I wish you the best through it, and I know there'll be a lot of support for you there.
Thank you.
What made this an even more dreadful tragedy, what made it even worse, was the fact that the Miami was about hope. The Miami was not sectarian.
Yes, we were a band, a mixed band of Protestant and Catholic. Two of the guys were Protestants, Brian McCoy and Ray Miller. And, the band was mixed. We never talked about politics, never got involved in politics. Our job was to get out there every night, entertain people for 2 hours, no matter what color, no matter what creed, give them 2 hours of fun and laughter and dancing and enjoying themselves during that horrible time in Northern Ireland.
Yes, in 1975, you didn't have, Spotify, you didn't have, people went to gigs and the show bands, that whole scene, it was a huge part of Irish culture at the time, wasn't it, North and South?
Absolutely. Anya, we would have 2,500 people inside a ballroom and 2,500 people outside trying to get in. It was absolutely, we were known as the Beatles of that era. You know, we would have been the Westlife or the Boyzone. And we dressed in white suits and all that. Ladies screaming, girls screaming at us, men shouting at us. It was unbelievable. That whole scene was, I often worked 31 days in a row with not one day off.
It was different times, all right. You have a book coming out this week, don't you, with journalist Ken Murray. Tell me about that, Des.
The book is called My Saxophone Saved My Life, Anya, which it did, by the way. My saxophone saved my life. I wouldn't be talking to you today only for my saxophone. Because on the night that we were stopped, we were flagged down by a red light. We were pulled over what we thought was a normal road check. And we were asked to get out of the van. We were told to face the ditch. We all faced the ditch. We were asked questions. How old are you? Where are you coming from? What is your name? What is your address? All the usual questions, thinking nothing. Until a couple of the guys said, we're going to the van now to check your van out. And I said, do you mind if I take my saxophone out and I put it on the road and show you it's a saxophone? And they said, okay. So I did that. Opened it up, showed him it was a saxophone. But instead of going to where I was in the line, which was extreme left, I was last on the right, standing next to the minibus. But I wasn't aware that two of the guys were actually going to the minibus to put a 10-pound bomb into the van. Now, the idea was that they're going to tell us to get back into the van and we would drive down the road and that would explode, killing all of us. And we would have been accused of carrying weapons for the IRA. But it exploded prematurely and blew me off my feet in over the ditch and into the field below. And I remember the old GI war movies. Lie your face down in the grass, hold your breath for as long as you can, and pretend you're dead. And that's what I did. And all I could hear was screaming and shouting and gunfire. All mayhem broke loose. It was a scene out of hell. And I held my breath for as long as I could. And I could hear them screaming and shouting. And one of the guys was shouting, "Are you sure those bastards are dead?" And I thought, oh no, they're not going to come back and shoot more bullets into us. And when things quietened down a little bit, I turned around and I said, I called Fran Brannan Tony's name. There's no reply. I called Stephen. Stephen was muttering. I said, "Stephen, I'm making a run for it. I'm going to go and get help." And I ran up onto the main road, and the scene was devastating. Bits of bodies all over the place. It was horrendous what I saw. Horrendous.
Well, we appreciate you talking to us about it today, and good luck with all the commemorations that are going on for the 50th anniversary and with the launch of your book this week, My Saxophone Saved My Life. Des Lee, good morning.